Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. In the book of Genesis, chapter 32, we'll be reading about Jacob, one of the choice servants God had. When you read about him, you'll find mistakes, fault, failures, just like you, just like me. But God used him mightily. Remember the story of Jacob? He was a son of the promised son of Isaac, who was a son of Abraham. Would be the grandson of Abraham. And he had a twin brother, Esau. And as they were being born, Esau came out first. But the Bible says, as he was coming out of the womb, Jacob reached and got his heel. And Esau was hairy and red all over. Jacob, later on, he was the mild one, so to speak. Esau was a mighty hunter. You know the story, how Jacob had deceived his brother. Being the second born, he did not deserve, nor was not rewarded the birthright by birth. But he wanted it so bad, and his mother wanted it even worse, it seems like, because he was a favorite son. So she enticed him, talked him into being the one to deceive his father Isaac. He goes in with the meal of his father's favorite, and he gives it to him, and he questions. You have the voice of Esau, but you feel like you have the voice of Jacob, but you feel like Esau. But nevertheless, he deceived him, and he received the blessing from his father. It wasn't long until Esau found out about it. And Esau had made some comments that we'll talk about later on. He despised his brother. So his mother, Rebekah, decides she'd better take a little more action. She's already taken some. She tells Jacob, you must leave. Your father intends to reward you, of course, with the blessing. He promised it. And what God has blessed you with, nobody can take it away from you. But your brother Esau has hatred in his heart toward you. And he was told where to go, to Laban, her brother. So he went. And as he journeyed, the first night, he reached a place, and the place was called Luz. It means separation. But that night, God visited him because God knew him. He had the promise of Abraham and Isaac. And that promise was that I'm going to make of you a mighty nation. So the Bible says Jacob pillowed his head on a rock. That night, God appeared to him in a dream. And there was a ladder going into heaven and the angels ascending and going to that ladder. God had visited him that night in a mighty way. The next morning he woke up and he changed the name of that place to Bethel, house of God. He made his journey farther on and there he met his future wife, Rachel, of course, at the well. And then he loved her so much, he wanted to marry her. And Laban says, 7 years labor and you've got her. Well, he was deceived also. And when he had the first wife given to him, it wasn't Rachel at all. It was her sister Leah, being the older one. And then he said, you've deceived me. Laban says, well, it won't be a problem if you'll just work 7 more years. Then you can have Rachel, which he gladly did. 14 years so far. And God had blessed him mightily. He had increased him. They had trades going on. And Laban changed the contract 10 different times. 6 more years goes by. God spoke to him again. He says, go back to your home country. It's time to go. Aren't you thankful that God's the one in charge? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Wait a minute. Jacob hasn't done a lot yet to prove his goodness. No, but God has looked upon him, and he has a promise. He has a blessing. It's going to be given to him. And God will overlook our pardons and pardon their iniquities, and he will have a way with us to make sure everything's all right. So he tells his wives and his children, 11 of them so far, we're going to pack up his mighty herds. God has increased him. God has blessed him. And he tells his wives and his concubines and all his servants and gets all their stock together, and they're going home, just like God told him to do. 3 days later, Laban finds out about it. He's gone with your daughters. So it takes Laban and his company, his family, 7 days to catch up with him. When he catches up with him, there's words, there's insults. And finally, they made a covenant, and they said that we'll never hurt one another again. And so Jacob goes on. We're going to pick up the story in the 32nd chapter of the book of Genesis at this point. Bible says in verse 1, he just left Laban now. Everything seems to be okay. There's some problems up ahead. He's quite worried about it. He knows Esau now, his brother, is a mighty hunter, and he's got a family and large bands of men. He knows that, and yet he remembers what's been said about his coming. Bible says in verse 1, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. That's a pretty good sign. God spoke to him and says, go. He went. And now he has been welcomed by a band of angels, and the angels of God, plural, more than one, met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaiah. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, and to the land of Seir, the country of Edom. He wanted to make the announcement to Esau, his brother, that hated him 20 long years. I'm coming home. I'm bringing with me messengers. Wasn't long until those messengers came back and said, oh, he's heard about you all right. He's going to meet you with 400 men. Now Jacob is sore afraid. He's worried as you would be, as I would be. We pick up the reading again in verse 22. And he rose up that night and took his two wives, his two women servants, and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. Let's this morning imagine that now Jacob is headed home, and there's this brook, Jabbok. Let's imagine that that brook runs right around through here, and I hope the water splashes out on all you people this morning. A brook, we'll talk the name of it later on, and we'll look at the meaning of that name. So the Bible says in verse 22, and he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. Jacob is on this side. He sends his people into two different groups. He says, if that first group gets attacked by those 400 men, then the second group will be able to escape with their lives, perhaps. And so he separated his servants and to different groups as they went, telling every group, when you meet my brother Esau, tell him, Jacob's in the rear, he's giving you this. His whole purpose was to appease his brother. Remember, he's a surplanter. He's already replaced one time his brother for the blessings. But nonetheless, God has favored him. He's still not exactly right with God, but not to be a problem. God will work that out. Same with you, same with me. God's looked at us. We've been serving him many years. But this morning, God's going to take a deep look at every one of us. See how God works? It's different than you and I would think he would work. Jacob had no idea how God was going to keep leading him. He was trying to work it out himself, trying to appease his brother. The Bible says in verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Everyone's gone now. It's dark. And Jacob is left alone. And there he is in the darkness. But God works in the darkness. He works in the darkness of your life and mine. When you can't see, and there's fear all around. Worry, fret, what's it coming to? Got a lot to worry about. And there he is, left alone. But the Bible says, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said to him, what is thy name? And Jacob had to confess. And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hath thy power with God and with men, and hath prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou doest ask my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. The name he gave that place, Peniel, means facing God. And here Jacob is, left alone. And a man starts wrestling him, and he calls the name of that place, facing God in the darkness. Look at four different things quickly as we look at what happened, because this is going to be a change for Jacob. He'd been serving God. God's been blessing him. He's been following the leadership of God. But God's going to do business with him face to face. Four different things we're going to pick up here in this wonderful passage. First of all, he has to face the reality of a situation. Here I am alone. I have sent my family, everything I own, 11 sons, two wives, concubine, servants, flocks. I've sent them away. And I know my brother Esau is coming to meet me with 400 men. And if they're anything like him, they're strong men. And yet, there's another fear that he may have. Laban, remember, has had that covenant with him, but they wasn't at all happy. And they're headed back home. Or are they? It's dark. I'm alone. I don't know what's going on. And to beat it all, someone's wrestling with me. I can't see them. And there's a fear in the darkness, all alone. And the match, wrestling match, begins. It doesn't seem like Jacob knows anything about what's going on except the reality of the possibilities that it's not going to be good. And he has no idea so far that it's not a mortal man. The Bible says a man. But let's pick up some reading in Hosea chapter 12, verse 3, because the Bible tells us later who it is. Jacob didn't know at that point who it was, but we know. So let's explore the thought, what God's already said in his word. In Hosea chapter 12, verse 3, talking about Jacob, he took his brother by the heel in the wound, and by his strength he has power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel, the one that was wrestling him, the Bible says was an angel, and prevailed. Jacob, a mortal man, knows that he's wrestling someone that's not a mortal man. It's an angel of the Lord. He wept and made supplications unto him. He found him in Bethel. Remember, Bethel is where God visited him and showed him that ladder of angels. What an experience. He never got over that, but here he is, still trying to appease people, still trying to work things out in his own. But the darkness has found him. He's all alone. Everything he owns is gone. And now the second thought, he has to realize that this is not a mortal man I'm wrestling. The reality of the situation is there's a lot to fear. And I am wrestling a person that is more than a man. Let's look at some thoughts along those lines. First of all, the Bible says Jacob was prevailing, being a strong man. He was determined. He had a lot at stake in this rapture match. His family, all that he had, 20 years of hard work, the blessings of God, and he doesn't necessarily know who he's wrestling with. And he has to realize after a while that this is not a mortal man. Though he gives it everything, he is winning the match, and the angel touches him and had his joint in his hip. He causes a limp. The Bible says he disjointed that. Let's look at verse 25 again. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, this is the angel, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. He's having pretty good success so far against this angel, this powerful angel. And the angel says, I'm going to discomfort him. So he uncouples the joint of his hip. He realizes, Jacob does, that this is more than a man. It's more than a mortal man. And at the same time, he is asked a question that must be answered. When the Lord asks you a question, you got to give an answer to it. It's a simple question. He didn't say, who are you? He knew who he was. He knew he was the son of Isaac, the blessed one. He knew he was the grandson of Abraham. He didn't ask him that. He said, what is thy name? Who are you on the inside? Jacob, which means surplanter, which means my heart wants to replace something and be something I'm not. And he's trying to appease man. So God now in the darkness, alone with God in the night, ask him a question. And there has to be something going on because Jacob has to do some confessing. And that's what God wants you and I to do. Many of us have been serving God a lot of years. God has blessed us. God has used us. And yet we fail him so often. Could it be that their heart's not just exactly right with God? No man wants to admit that. David finally did. Search me, O God, and try my way. If there be any way within me that's wrong, and that's what the angel is asking Jacob. I've blessed you probably because the blessing, but yet I've honored you. I've honored your work. I've honored your everything you've done. I have blessed you, and I have brought you to this place, and everything you've got is on that side of the brook. And the name of the brook, Jabbok, means emptying. Empty yourself of yourself. What Jesus says, remember, blessed are the poor, for they shall see God. We have to become poor. The way to become poor is to empty yourself of yourself so he can fill you with his self. Jacob's doing some confession now. I've been a surplanter. You blessed me, and I've served you. But now there's a war going on in the loneliness, in the darkness. God works not like you'd expect him to. You would never expect God to come down in the darkness when he was alone. And there he realized to start with, this is more than just a blessing I want. I've been asking for help because my brother's coming. Laban may have come back in the darkness. I've been asking for your protection. But now the Bible says, after he realizes who it really is, he's wrestling. He's struggling. He is asking, and then once he realizes who it is, the angel says, it's almost the breaking of a day. Turn me loose. Jacob's not in the habit of turning anything loose. He held on to his brother's heel as he was being born. He is holding on to all that God has given him. He don't want to turn anything loose. He doesn't want to turn his true self loose. But if you're going to cross that brook Jabbok, you have to do some emptying. If you want the blessings of God in your life, you've got to do some emptying. What's your name? Who are you really? Oh, it's not that I'm blessed. It's not that you're not saved. It's not that you're going to heaven. Who are you? Why is the intent of your heart? Do you still have jealousy, unforgiveness in your heart? You won't cross that brook of blessings anymore if you want to excel with God. If you want to be all that God wants you to be, you have to empty yourself and confess right now. Once Jacob realized that, he didn't want to let him go. He knew, and he wanted to resolve. Now, the third thing, he resolved to seize the opportunity. I wonder how many opportunities God gives you and I in our life. I'm not talking about the blessings. They come all the time. The sunshine and the rain and the families and the friends and the health. Oh, no, no, bless, bless, bless. The increase. But now God wants to take him to a new height. I want to change your name. I want to change your purpose. I want to give you more than you asked for. You asked for protection, you got it. And now he had the resolve in his heart, I won't let you go. I have met you. I have prevailed. And I've confessed. And that's all God wants you to do. Just confess. And admit that he's Lord. And let him replace that emptiness with the fellowship and the joy of the Lord. And Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now he's going to seize his opportunity. He's not about to let him go. Psalms 18:28. We're talking about the darkness. Being alone in the darkness. The fear is gone because now he realizes who he's wrestling with. It's not a mortal man. This is the angel of the Lord. The reality of a situation is all past now. I'm alone with the angel of the Lord. I am going to recognize and resolve in my heart to seize this opportunity. I will not let you go. When you get that close to the things of God and all the promises God wants you, you hold on to it. And Jacob is the one that's able to hold on. And then the Bible says, lastly, he's going to reveal to the world now all that God has made him. The angel says unto him, thy name is no longer Jacob, surplanter, because I've emptied you of yourself. Now I want to fill you with myself. You're going to be a prince. Your name is Israel, one that prevails at the face of God. A few weeks ago, I preached a message on face-to-face with the giants. And God brings us, remember we use the scripture of David. David did not have to face a giant, but he wanted to excel. He had an opportunity, and God gave him the courage to face Goliath, and he prevailed. How did he do that? Because the Bible says David determined in his heart that he would live righteously, and he purposed in his heart that I'll live righteously. That's what Jacob's just done. He's not Jacob anymore. He is Israel. Now he is able to cross the brook, Jabbok, emptying. And as he goes, people look at him. He goes farther. He meets up with his brother Esau. He has given him all these gifts. Esau doesn't really want to take him because he's a blessed man too. But see, everywhere in his life he goes, he tells. I wonder how many times we go to God and we struggle, we worry. And really, sometimes when problems come, like all the problems he had, we say, it's a devil. It didn't have a thing to do with the devil at this point. It was all God. Who are you with God? Let me tell you my experience. I've told some of you before, but the Lord put this on my mind. I've been here, it came in 93 in April 25th. The next year, I had a polyp that they had burned out, and the doctor said, have to cut part of your colon out and repair it. That was June of 94. And that ended up, and God told me when he told me earlier, I didn't know it would be at that time, I'm going to bring you down low. I'm going to empty yourself of yourself so I can use you. I've been using God a little bit, I thought. And God works mysteriously. And then when they did the surgery and tacked it back together, it came apart. I got peritonitis. I was dying. I was turning green. I was turning yellow. And I was obviously not able to preach at the church. Didn't have any preachers in the church other than myself at that time. But Darren, our son Darren, was a teacher. And so I had him teach, preach, although he wasn't called yet. And Bible school came up. I didn't know I was going to be in the hospital 35 days. Bible school came up, and Darren preached the congregation that Thursday night, and 23 people got saved. 6 weeks later or so, I was able to come back, not to preach. I just sat in the old church, in that seat you're sitting in. And Darren taught again. 13 more people got saved. One of them was his wife, who thought she was saved. And she confessed that the reason she found out she was lost, she had seen me, not me now, she had seen me in the hospital and saw how I was able to praise God and give him thanks with no bitterness and thankfulness. And she saw that she didn't have that within her heart. And God, she was one of the 13 that got saved. You think the devil had anything to do with my sickness? It was God meeting me face to face. I wonder how many times in your life and mine, God has brought things to our life. We fought it. We've struggled. We've wrestled. We've warred against it. And we didn't seize the opportunity. We didn't recognize who we were wrestling with. And we laid it on the flesh, the world, and the devil. And we didn't seize and recognize the opportunity that it was a time for us to empty ourselves so God could fill us with himself. And he changed his name, Israel. No more, sir planner. And not one time in the scripture does Jacob ever complain about that. All his life from then on, he did a lot of traveling. The hip was disjointed. There was no healing process for it. God blessed him, but he also gave him that injury. And we think every time we meet with God, it's all blessings, houses, cars, salaries, wonderful things. Yeah, it is that, but sometimes God inflicts us. Sometimes God does that. Why? To make us what we ought to be. Remember, he has emptied us of ourselves, and he has filled it with himself that we may go into the world and tell them and prove to the world what God has done for us. I'm not bragging on myself at all. But I realized God was the one doing that. The surgeon had done it. A very top-notch surgeon, Nashville, that did my surgery. It wasn't his fault. I never accused him. I never one time said, God, why'd you do this to me? You know what I was saying? Now, this is not me bragging. This is when I was emptying myself, how he filled it. I was crying and saying, thank you, Lord, that you chose me. And I was laying in the hospital 25 days and ended up 35 days. And I was saying, God, you could have chose any Baptist preacher you want to, but you chose me. Thank you, Lord. Can you do that? The suffering and the struggle and there's wrestling? You can. And God can use you. God can fill you. Would you stand this morning? See this struggle that we go through in the dark, in the lonely times, many times is sent to us from God. The devil had nothing to do with anything going on now. Oh, the devil tried to, But you see, it was God that the struggle was with. The struggle was between Jacob inwardly and his God. I wonder how many times we get deceived and don't recognize and realize who the struggles of life is with. God sends these times in their life, and we don't seize the opportunity. We don't recognize. We don't reckon. We don't resolve to hold on and seize that opportunity. Would you please come to the piano organ? God gives messages. And then he gives messages. And this is a message that you too, even now, many times are alone in the darkness. You don't see, you don't realize, and there's fear, fear, fear. And could it be that all it is, God's bringing you to himself to get you over the brook of emptiness of yourself so he can use you for his glory. What a time to seize that opportunity. No more loneliness. Jacob never one time ever is mentioned that he did not give God glory and praise and honor. See, when God does something, good comes of it. How could good come of a man limping all his life? That was a small thing to do compared to all the blessings. He's going to have another baby boy. And that baby boy is going to be named Benjamin, son of my right hand. And Joseph, remember, is going to be blessed of God, but going down in Egypt. Wonder how those boys reacted and felt. And the daughter, knowing that their dad had wrestled with God and prevailed face to face. Heads are bowed, altars open. Would you come? Know our problems, our weaknesses. And you have brought us to this place this morning to get us